What's cracking, watch fans? It's Amitay Panda, and welcome to my podcast. So today I want to talk about the incredible success of the Omega Speedmaster Moonswatch that came out a couple of years ago. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the Moonswatch is a collaboration between Swatch and its sister brand Omega that happened in March of 2022. It came out of nowhere. It was something that took the world by storm. The parent group, Swatch Group, owns Omega. During the 80s, there's something known as the quartz crisis, where you had the Japanese market come in and produce watches that were battery driven, very inexpensive. So that almost decimated the Swiss watch market because there was no longer a need for people necessarily to buy expensive Swiss watches when you could buy a Japanese quartz-driven calculator watch that basically did the same thing, tell time, for pennies on the dollar of what a Swiss watch would cost. And then Swatch came in and literally saved the day by producing some of the most original, colorful, whimsical, fun, exciting, pop-cultural-influenced watches that would go on to save the Swiss watch industry because they were made in Switzerland for around the same price as those inexpensive Casio or Citizen or Seiko watches that were $50. They also bought Omega. They saved Omega in the process. And the Moonswatch was really Omega's way of, you know, tipping their cap to Swatch for saving them and allowing Swatch essentially to use their design for their iconic Speedmaster Moonwatch, which has cemented its place in history since 1969 as the first watch that went to the moon. I've always been a fan of the Moonwatch by Omega. It's, to me, the two most iconic chronographs in history are the Omega Speedmaster Moonwatch and the Rolex Daytona. As much as I'm a Rolex fan, I've always favored the Moonwatch, the chronograph, the Speedmaster. And by Omega and Swatch collaborating, it made it affordable. Because let's face it, $7,000 for an Omega Speedmaster, while some don't have to think about it, most people do. And most people may never reach that. And I owned a Moonwatch when I started my career in fine watches, but I never had, maybe I just wasn't ready for it, and maybe I just didn't understand it because I was too young, but I always respected it, and I always liked it better than the Daytona. And, you know, when the Omega Speedmaster Moonswatch came out, what I love most about it is that It didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter how much money you have. It didn't matter how famous you are. It didn't matter what connections or contacts you had. Everybody had to stand in line to get it. And I think that's part of the fun in getting this watch. There's 11 different models inspired by different planets known as Mission. So Mission to Moon, which is basically an exact, more or less, reproduction of the Omega Speedmaster Moonwatch that came out in 1969, all on Velcro straps and very, very, very cool. So you had 11 different missions, Mission to Moon, Mission to Venus, Mission to Mercury, Mission to Mars, Mission to Uranus, Mission to Pluto, Mission to Saturn, Mission to Sun, and the list goes on and on. When I originally got it, I said to myself, you know, I'll just get Mission to Moon and that'll be enough for me. And then, of course, I love Mission to Mars because of the red and the you know, sort of linkage to the Alaska Project, which was an Omega Speedmaster that came out in 2011 or 12. White dial and the you know, sub-second chronograph hands are shaped like rockets. I let my cousin borrow that. I got offered way too much money for the Mission to Moon, so I sold it. It was an offer I just couldn't pass up. And I said to myself, listen, if I ever get the opportunity to buy another one for myself, I will. And that happened last year my cousin returned my mission to Mars, and that just ignited my obsession with this watch, and I bought three more. So I have a total of five Moons watches. And just for you, just to give you a frame of reference, I started my career with Swatch in 1991. So I'm no stranger to Swatch and how they work. In a lot of ways, I feel until this point, until the frenzy that I had experienced in 91 to 92, 93, where, you know, Swatch was making these very hard to get chronographs and scubas and other models, special packaging and limited editions, and they were going for thousands in Europe. And that kind of stopped in the mid-90s. Swatch is kind of sleeping. I mean, there were always were that, consider that disposable, fun, whimsical, plastic $40 watch that you could buy and not think about. But and if you wanted a Swiss watch, even though they were mostly all quartz, that was the way to go. And I was still, even before the Moon Swatch, I've always recommended people buying a Swatch because I know their quality. I know their history. I'm very, very, very thankful to have had that experience of starting my career with this brand. And my journey has come full circle with the Moon Swatch, but it is the most genius marketing move in the history of watches, in my opinion, more so than even Rolex. It basically took an icon like the Omega Speedmaster, made it accessible to a mainstream audience in a way that it's never been available before in its own unique way. And it was affordable. And it actually, I think the sales for the Omega Speedmaster, the went up by 40-50%, which tells you everything you need to know. Originally it was two per customer, and then it went to one per customer because of the demand. And then Swatch had made a statement on their website saying that it would be available online. It never was, and till now hasn't been. I think it's good in a way that you have to go in and get it. It's definitely a pain because you don't know what's going to happen. In my particular Swatch store where I am at the moment, you know, that store is at least an hour and a half away driving. They don't tell you on the phone whether they have a watch or not. They're not allowed to disclose what they have. So you're literally in no man's land and you don't know what you're going to get. So when you go in, you just have to ask, do you have this today? You know, like clenching your fist, hoping they do. And I've been pretty lucky. I mean, only once or twice have I not found what I'm looking for, but they're now more readily available. They're not numbered, but they are limited in terms of where you can buy them at designated Swatch stores around the world. And I got to tell you, it's a genius move because not only did it make me want to collect the entire series, I mean, there are a few Moon Swatches that I really don't like and I probably won't get. Maybe there's one or two more that I will get. I have five right now and I love them all and I wear them. Just to give you an idea of how much I love them and how cool they are, I have a Rolex Submariner with a ceramic bezel. That was my dream watch that I got in 2012. Since I've gotten the Moon Swatch, that Rolex Submariner has been sitting in the safe. So this is the first time I can say in my life that I would rather wear a Swatch than I would a Rolex, which should tell you everything you need to know. Also, I like the fact that if I wasn't in the watch industry or I had no exposure to watches or I didn't know anything about it, this is a great way for me to dip my toe without spending a lot of money. Because anyone, I don't care what your economic status is, can afford a watch under $300. You may have to save if you don't have the means, but you can save. You can save $30, less than $30 a month. That's not a big deal to buy a watch like this. You may not have multiples, but you can at least afford to buy one. And that's what I love about it. It's something that anyone can have. It's not necessarily something anyone can get because it's due to availability, but that's the fun, is finding out. The search, the hunt, you know. It also teaches you how the collector's market works. So if you want to further, you know, immerse yourself in watches, you'll have an understanding of what that's like by investing in something like the Moon's Watch. Also, it gives you access to a complication other than time and date, and understand how that works, because the Omega Speedmaster Moon's Watch is a chronograph. And even though it's a quartz chronograph, it shows you how those sub-dials line up, what a three-registered chronograph is, what it measures, how it works. And plus, the street cred that this watch gives you. I have been in watch collectors events with people wearing $500,000 Patek's and even more expensive watches, with people nodding their head out of respect, "Ooh, you're wearing a Moon's watch." It's an awesome feeling, and I don't know of any other watch under $300 that does that. Now, is it perfect? No, it's not. Like, there have been issues that I want to address, from the chronograph pushers breaking, from the battery cover in the back bleeding whatever color is on the back. It's actually the battery cover in the back is a 3D printed image of that specific planet that the watch is, Mission to Moon or Mission to Venus or Mission to Mercury. I have five and I've never had an issue. Another issue that I see on mine that kind of annoys me, but it's not a deal breaker, is the chronograph, the big chronograph hand doesn't perfectly line up at the 12, even though you can move it and you can try and line it up as best as possible. It doesn't. Some of them don't exactly hit the 12 perfectly. Another thing I want to say is that if you are going to buy this watch, you cannot expect you're going to get the quality of the $7,000 Omega Speedmaster. Remember, this is $270. So, you know, if it breaks, it sucks, right? But it's not like if a $7,000 watch breaks and it's not covered under warranty, and you don't have the means to fix it, that's a problem, right? Like, at least for that time being, like if you want it to work and wear it and enjoy it. But with a watch like this, your worst case is it breaks, you buy another one, and you really don't have to, the average person really doesn't have to think about it. Now, I don't want to downplay anyone's struggles that can't afford this, because that's not what this is about. But for the most part, $300 for a watch that gives you that, all of the things I've mentioned, all the positive things, there's no other watch on the planet in this price point that can give you what this watch can. And it's fun. It's really fun to collect. It's really fun to wear. It's really, it's also great because in the advent of Instagram and all these social media platforms where the average person may not have known about what a Rolex Daytona is or known what an Omega Speedmaster is, and now everyone at their fingertips can know what you're wearing. The Speedmaster Moon Watch, even though, yeah, people know what it is or may know what it is, you can travel with a watch like this, and if something happens, you don't feel bad if something happens to it. Obviously, no one wants to get their watch, regardless of price, wants to get their watch broken or stolen or whatever, but you just don't have the risk that you would associate it with traveling with like a Rolex Submariner or Daytona or Omega Speedmaster. A lot of people don't like that it's a plastic crystal. Hey, the original Moon Watch had a hexalite crystal, which is essentially a hard plastic from, you know, the original Moon Watch. So it honors that. It's a 42 millimeter size. So it's definitely, you know, with regards to what people are wearing today, for some men it's big. To me, it's a really a perfect size, especially for a chronograph, because you have the three buttons on the side. It's a very masculine watch and it's a very utilitarian watch. It's probably the only quartz watch, other than a few other swatches, that I would own, that I would actually wear. One of the nice things about wearing a quartz watch as opposed to an automatic watch is you don't have to worry about changing the time. You know, if you put it away for a few days and you take it out, it's still ticking. Whereas an automatic watch, you put away for a few days, it stops, you have to reset it. There's no date on it, which is great. So that's one less thing you have to set. you know, it's not the most water resistant watch. It's not like you can swim with it. I would definitely say if you want to swim with a watch, you should have at least 100 meters and a screw down crown. I know people who are giant art collectors and giant wine collectors and champagne collectors and watch collectors who haven't been able to find a certain moon's watch they want. I mean, that should just tell you like how great this is. You know, all the big fashion and fashion houses and big names out there suddenly want to be next to a Swatch boutique, because if they weren't their customer before, they definitely are their customer now. There's someone in there that goes to a Swatch store that is the high-end customer, that and they want to be associated with something as cool as the Moon Swatch. It's so, the story is so great. I mean, I'll never forget in the 90s, Omega Swatch sold, it was known as the vegetable set. So you had a red pepper, you had bacon and eggs, and you had a cucumber. They were sold in vegetable stands in Switzerland, and each one of those was going for $80, or you bought the set for $240. And there were pop swatches, and they were shaped like red pepper. They were shaped like bacon and eggs. They were shaped like a cucumber, or had the, you know, the printing of red pepper, cucumber, and bacon and eggs on it. And those went for thousands in Europe, you know. And I just remember the frenzy and the hysteria. And the Swatch store that I worked at, which happened to be the world's largest watch store, people would camp overnight to get them. So if Rolex totally turned the world upside down by making stainless steel the most desirable metal, right, and the most common metal used in the Swiss watch industry, Swatch took it to another level, not now with the Moon Swatch, but actually in the 90s with these watches I'm talking about, the collectible Swatches I grew up selling, by making plastic the most desirable out of all. The case of the Moon Swatch is bioceramic. So that's 80% ceramic that's used in watches today, and 20% biosourced plastic, which is made out of castor oil. So it's a very durable and hard case. So it doesn't scratch easily. I love it, you know. And also you can also buy different straps for this watch. Aside from, you know, the strap that comes on it, you can buy 20 millimeter straps that would fit it. There's some strap companies that make it so that they fit seamlessly into the case. So they're curved at the end, so they just fit in perfectly. There's no separation between the case and the strap. You can get all kinds, leather straps. You can get, you know, ostrich straps. You can, I've seen people get metal bracelets. I've seen people turn their, you know, cases into stainless steel cases and have the dials fitted on those. I mean, it's crazy what people are doing with the Moon Swatch to make it look more like an Omega Speedmaster. But yeah, it's fun. I you know, after being in the watch industry so many years and seeing everything and almost owning almost everything I've ever wanted to own, you kind of think, what's next? You know, like, you kind of, things can get stale, or, you know, it's like being with the same person for 30 years sometimes. You have to constantly reinvent and find that passion or find that fun. And I got to tell you, the Moon Swatch has really reinvigorated my passion again. This is a very expensive sport, collecting watches. And the fact that I can get 5 Moon Swatches, you know, for under $1,500 is awesome, because each one, even though they're more or less the same Speedmaster dial configuration, they're different because of the coloring and some of the details and the straps and stuff used. So I highly recommend, whether you're a watch collector who's serious and have a massive collection, or someone who's never bought a watch in your life, that you take a good look at the Speedmaster Moon Swatch, because you'll have fun. You'll have fun collecting them, and you'll have fun trying to track them down. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me at amitdevhonda@gmail.com, or you can visit my website at www.amitdevhonda.com. Rock on, fly back, and stay healthy.